In our study of the parables, we have come to the story of the rich man and Lazarus, Luke chapter 16. So we will begin by reading that text, and then we'll discuss a little bit about what that looks like. Beginning in Luke 16, verse 19, "Now there was a rich man, and he habitually dressed in purple and fine linen, joyously living in splendor every day. And a poor man named Lazarus was laid at his gate, covered with sores. In longing to be fed with the crumbs that were falling from the rich man's table, besides, even the dogs were coming and licking his sores. Now the poor man died and was carried away by the angels to Abraham's bosom. And the rich man also died and was buried. In Hades he lifted up his eyes, being in torment, and saw Abraham far away and Lazarus bosom. And he cried out and said, 'Father Abraham, have mercy on me. Send Lazarus so that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool off my tongue, for I am in agony in this flame.' But Abraham said, 'Child, remember that during your life you received your good things, and likewise Lazarus bad things. But now he is being comforted here, and you are in agony. And besides all this, between us and you, there is a great chasm fixed, so that those who wish to come over from here to you will not be able, and that none may cross over there to us.' And he said, 'I beg you then, Father, that you send him to my father's house, for I have five brothers, in order that he may warn them, so that they will not also come to this place of torment.' But Abraham said, 'They have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them.' But he said, 'No, Father Abraham, if someone goes to them from the dead, they will repent.' But he said to them, 'If they do not listen to Moses and the prophets, they will not be persuaded, even if someone rises from the dead." So, just a few things to point out about this parable. We begin talking about a rich man who had fine clothes and more than enough to eat, so much so that there was food just falling off of his table that he didn't have enough room for. Then we have Lazarus, who is a beggar, who was laid at the gate of the rich man because obviously he couldn't walk. Someone else has to lay you somewhere because you couldn't get there your own self, I'm hoping. So Lazarus is a poor man, rich man, we don't know his name. They both die. And I think it's significant that we find that Lazarus, when he dies, he is carried away by angels into the bosom of Abraham. And the rich man just died and buried. That's all that happened. So, in this story, we have two characters, and Christ kind of gives us a peek behind the veil of death, as it were. We see that those who are saved go into a place of peace and comfort and rest, and those who are unsaved go into a place of torment, pain, and suffering. So, this would be a good question to put on our list of questions, but have you ever heard anyone say, "I don't mind going to hell because that's where all my friends are going to be"? How does this line up with that line of thinking? The last thing those who are separated from God want is for anyone else to suffer the same thing. So obviously this rich man is concerned about his closest relationships on earth and wants his brothers to do what? Not come there. But he wants someone to go and give them a message from beyond the grave so that maybe they'll wise up and change their ways. So a few questions come to my mind as a result of this. What did the rich man do wrong that he ended up in torment?
He obviously wasn't
Okay, he lacked compassion. He didn't have any compassion for Lazarus at the gate. Probably didn't even notice him. Was just one of those filthy things that keeps bothering him. But really and truly, as far as what he did wrong, we don't know that he was mean. We don't know that he was dishonest. We just know he was rich.
And he talked.
Yeah, he dressed as rich people do, and he consumed as rich people do. Just out of curiosity, how do we define rich?
Whatever more than what we got.
Somebody's got more than what we got. That's rich. Yeah, we think that because they have more than enough, that they must be rich. So in our country, since some of the biggest problems that we face are obesity, would it be safe to say that most of us have more than enough?
Judging by America's standards, when you go to other countries, we are taller.
Right. I think I told this story before. I grew up with a guy, and he was from a broken home, single parent mom, and just barely eking by. Didn't, you know, macaroni and hot dogs was a good night. And, you know, we didn't have much, but we ate good. We had what we needed. We had clothes on our back, and, you know, our parents did their best to provide. And had a mom and a dad, that's rich by itself in today's standards. But he called me rich. And I said, what? I am not rich. But from his viewpoint, I was rolling. Because I had all I needed. And he had to do without what he needed, not just what he wanted. So I think we certainly have to be careful that we don't look down on the rich man and think, well, his money was his problem. Will there be any poor people in hell?
Yes.
You see, Lazarus didn't go to heaven because he was poor, and the rich man didn't go to hell because he was rich. So we got to make sure we're not making that error. Because if you remember what Lazarus was asked to do was come and relieve his suffering by just a drop of water in his tongue. How long lasting a relief would that have been?
Not long.
Nothing. But what was the rich man asking Abraham to have Lazarus do for him? Go tell his brothers so that they will, the word is, that is the key. What separated Lazarus from the rich man was not their economic status. What separated them was their repentance before God, an acknowledgement of their sin nature, their sinfulness, their need of God's forgiveness. Because Lazarus was in heaven with Abraham, not because he was poor, but because, as Christ said, he was poor in spirit. Blessed are the poor in spirit, Christ said. That doesn't mean those who just walk around with their head down all the time. That's those who have a right self-perspective, who see themselves the way God sees them, in need of a redeemer. We sang the song, When I See the Blood. Now, in our culture, hey, don't get that. What are y'all talking about? Why are y'all so obsessed with blood? Yeah, he was talking about, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. So that's a reference way back to Egypt, when Egypt is delivered from, or Israel is delivered from bondage in Egypt by the Passover of the angel of death who was killing the firstborn in every family, unless they were in a house that had blood on the doorposts of the house. So Lazarus is in eternity with Abraham because of his blood-redeemed status. Now remember, people in the Old Testament are saved the same way people in the New Testament are saved. They're looking forward to what Christ did on the cross. We are looking back at what Christ did on the cross. So Lazarus is redeemed by the blood of Christ, even though Christ is telling this story and hasn't died on the cross yet. Lazarus is redeemed by the future blood of Christ, which has redeemed mankind, for God so loved the world. And that just doesn't go for everybody in the world right now, everybody on the world that ever was in the past, and everybody on the world that ever will be in the future. That's who Christ died for. Now, Lazarus took him up on it. The rich man didn't think he needed to, because he had all he needed. So what areas other than money would this parable apply to? Obviously, we can look at money and think that that is our salvation. That is our security. But over and over again, Scripture talks about money and says, don't rely on money because it takes up wings like eagles and it's gone. Be careful about how much you rely on money. So what other areas of life would this parable apply to? How could we apply this in practical, everyday terms? How many people said, nobody's ever given me anything? I earn my own bootstraps. Right. Well, that's kind of the same predicament, even though that person is saying that might not be rich. Their sufficiency is in themselves and not in the person of Jesus Christ.
That's what the world teaches.
Yeah. The world teaches you that you deserve everything. You have a right to all that you want, and all your dreams to come true. Why? And they don't really address the point that your dream might be at cross purposes with somebody else's dream, so now whose dream gets it? I guess that's just who the bigger fighter is at that point. So, this is not just a money issue. This is a dependence issue. What is your sufficiency in? What are you trusting in? And just a kind of a little clue, when you're talking to someone about Christ, talking to someone about salvation, the issue is best explained and made to boil down to the issue of trust. What are you trusting in to get you to heaven? Because a lot of times we'll ask questions that really don't make the issue what the issue is. Accepting Jesus. Okay, I accept Jesus. Jesus lived. Jesus died. I believe he rose from the dead. Okay. I'm not trusting him to be my Savior, but I believe all that. Right? Ask Jesus into your heart. What does that even mean? Is that literal? A lot of times we confuse the issue, so it's very good to make the issue about trusting, because that's where your sufficiency is. What you're trusting in is what you are relying on to get you to heaven. If we trust in anything else or anything plus Christ, we've missed eternity. Because it is by faith alone, in Christ alone, that anyone will see heaven.
I like what he says at the end. Someone can rise from the dead and tell them the next story.
Isn't that an amazing thought?
Yeah, that happens right now.
Absolutely. So, just a question to ponder. Why do you think we're given the name of the beggar, but not the rich man. We just know it as the rich man. But the beggar we know as Lazarus. Isn't that an interesting thought of why Jesus would frame the story that way? And I don't know that there's a question or an answer to this that you can find from the text, but it seems like it would fit Christ's purpose to make fellowship a big issue, because that's truly what eternity is about. Being in fellowship with God for eternity. And Abraham knew Lazarus' name. Lazarus knew Abraham, but Abraham didn't know the rich man's name, because they didn't know each other. He hadn't trusted in the right things on earth to make himself ready for eternity. So what three things does a rich man beg for? For relief, for mercy. Right. Water on my tongue. That was the first one. What else did he beg for? Okay, he begged for a witness to go and tell his brothers. One other thing. It's not as overt as those two, but he asked for fellowship, for Lazarus to just come over, even if it's just for a moment. But Abraham lets him know, no, there's no fellowship. There's no bridge over that gap. We can't come to you and you can't come to us. There's an eternal separation of fellowship from God, which is hell. So, do you agree that people would not be convinced if approached by someone raised from the dead? That's Robert's point. Do you agree that if someone who was dead and you knew he was dead comes up and starts telling you something, you wouldn't listen? What are they supposed to listen to? He told them they've got Moses and the prophets. So what was he referring to? Was Moses alive when Jesus was telling the story?
No.
He was long dead.
As Jews, they all know who Moses was.
Right, but how can they listen to Moses? How can they listen to the prophets?
Because of the printed word or the Semitic
tradition. They have scripture.
Because they read that, like, all their services.
Absolutely. They can listen to Moses and the prophets because they have the witness of scripture that is holding them accountable because of what they know about Christ through the Old Testament scriptures, let alone what is available today through the New Testament. So everyone is accountable unto God for the level of revelation that they have received.
There's some people that have never heard about Christ being raised from the dead, and there's plenty that have heard plenty about it and still are not saved by it.
And you can imagine that somebody having that experience, the next day talking to his buddy, goes, man, I don't know what I had to eat last night, but you would not believe what I was thinking. So you can see how, and it's the same thing you can imagine after the rapture, where there's going to be millions of people that are gone, and the world isn't going to go, is there something I missed? Am I supposed to be doing something right now? Because these people are all missing.
You know, aliens.
Aliens did it, yes. Oh, there's going to be all kinds of explanations.
Anything but.
Yeah. It was not. Whatever you think, it was not Jesus coming to take his church. Okay. Whatever else. I mean, aliens or volcanic eruptions, whatever you want. And why they'll point to it? It's because all the church people, what's still there. That's going to be the proof. See? Look. That church over there, ain't none of them gone.
They're all Christians.
Yeah, every everybody's going to heaven, so, well, the rich man and the poor man, the only thing that separated them was their trust in Christ, their trust in the revealed explanation for their sin solution. So, anything you would add to our discussion this evening?
I think maybe Lazarus' name was mentioned because his name was in the Book of Life. And the rich man's name wasn't in the Book of Life.
Well, that would certainly be true that the rich man didn't have anything eternal about him. But remember, also, this is a parable that Christ told, so this is a story that he's telling to reveal a spiritual truth. So, we don't know if this was an actual event or not. Because it could be. Because the one person that could tell us if it was an actual event was Jesus. He's the only person alive that could say what happens beyond the grave. So, this might have been an actual event. Or it might have been a story like the sower that Jesus told for the purpose of instructing them and revealing truth, which is really the point of all the parables, is to reveal truth that they didn't know in a way that they can understand it. Anything else? Any questions? Absolutely.